Hi, my name is Sydney, and I'm so excited to finally have another YN fanfiction author in my grasp today.
It's Miss Ackerman X today.
Yes, the YN author that I have dragged onto this show, adding yet another number onto my goal of having every YN author ever on this podcast. And I get the greatest pleasure to not only talk to a YN author, but a YN anime author who has written for Attack on Titan, Chainsaw Man, Jujutsu Kaisen. She is the author of July, Experiment, and Fable. Please welcome Miss Ackerman Eggs. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be on the podcast today.
Oh, thank you.
Having a fangirl moment.
Oh, really? Oh my God, please don't do that. It's always, I've had that happen to me, like, I think for the past year, like, I got an email one time that was, like, a fanfiction recommendation, and I responded back to that email, and someone responded back, was like, oh my God, I'm fangirling so hard, and I'm like, please don't, I'm just a normal person, please, I can't handle all of it.
I heard your voice, and I was like, oh my God, it's Sydney. Don't laugh, live.
In your ears, truly in the moment. Oh, yeah, it's, like, such a weird feeling to be, like, fangirl. I get like fangirled over because it's just like, to me, I'm just a normal person who like woke up about an hour ago and like stumbled out of bed, and I was just like, I'm here, like I'm gonna be as cognizant as I can for you. And it's like, that's just, yeah, thank you so much. And like, that's just who I am. Like, I just still feel like a normal like person, and then yeah. There's just people who are like so very kind to me, and I don't know why. But I am super excited because I just love talking about anime. I'm so happy that I've gotten to talk to, like, a plethora of anime fanfiction authors in the past, like, couple of months. I think that's so cool for me and me particularly. If you don't like anime, I'm so sorry about the amount of, like, fanfiction authors that we've had on that just, like, purely write for anime. But I have the time of my life. But it's really fun for me because I have watched Attack on Titan, but, like, I stopped watching after season 2 or something and just never super got back into it. And then Jujutsu Kaisen, I love. Still wary about starting season 2 because I've heard from like Maya and a bunch of other people that like it gets really sad.
It's pain. It gets dark and painful. Yeah. But I do suggest, but it is very painful at the moment.
Yeah. So I've heard from like it's a lot of people. And Maya's like caught up on the manga and everything, and she's just like, she's ready for the pain.
And I'm she's like, going through it week to week.
Absolutely she is. But that's like her favorite place to live.
Of course.
And I have never watched Chainsaw Man. I haven't gotten into that yet. So it's a little bit of like a mixed bag for me of like something that I really love and then something that I was kind of into and then stopped watching for whatever reason and then something that I haven't watched. So really excited to be here.
Ooh, I'm excited to be here also.
So to start off the episode, tell me about your relationship with fan fiction, how you found it, and then how you got started reading and writing it.
Oh, I love this question. So when I was in high school, what I'd first been exposed to about fanfic was like One Direction fanfic.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like I couldn't escape it. Like it was like, like Wattpad. It was like, oh, like you're being sold to like One Direction, but it's like Harry. Yes.
It was truly inescapable from like 2012 to 2014.
You could not be online without hearing about them. So I'd kind
Absolutely
of like a few years after that, and it was during like one of the lockdowns in the UK during COVID, and I was scrolling on Tumblr because I was catching up on the Attack on Titan manga, and I saw like a Levi X Reader like 5-chapter post thing, and I was like, oh, what's this? And I started reading it, and I was like, no way. Like, I'd never considered reading fanfic at that point
for,
like, any of the anime I watched, and I've always been quite into anime. And I was like, this has opened a box for me. And I remember I spent, like, a week just, like, scrolling through the Levi Reader tag on Tumblr. Mm-hmm. And then, like, a week after that, I, like, took my shot at writing some fanfic, and I, like, made a Wattpad account and Tumblr and stuff. And, like, it's funny, like, also, like, looking back at your work, like the first pieces.
Oh my God, yeah.
It's like, oh, the cringe. But I was so excited because like at that time I had like nothing to do all day. So I like, yeah, since then I've just like leaped in, and I had like a year or so to just write like every day until I was back at work again, and I was still managing to write. So that's how I like got into like writing anime fanfic at the moment.
Yeah, and with anime, you said that you were an anime fan before fanfic. So what was your history with that? Like, what was your first anime?
Wow. So one of my first animes was Death Note,
Okay.
and yeah, starting off strong.
Listen, I started off with Clannad, so
Pain.
Decade.
And then I remember watching Attack on Titan. I remember at the time everyone in my high school thought I was kind of weird for it, but I remember the when like Levi's first introduced, and like you think he's like Mikasa, and then he turns around, and even in like character one with design, I was like, oh my gosh,
Yeah.
Levi. And like bells kind of went off for me. And then that was probably like my first like anime crush, where I was like, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Was, your experience or your introduction to YN fan fiction? Because, for a little background, for mine, it was definitely like I had gone about my life seeing anime and watching movies and everything and shipping myself with these characters, but being like, oh, that's unnatural, people don't do that. So I kept it to myself until I found fan fiction for the first time, and I was like, oh my God, this is what people do. I have found my people. So did you also have that experience of watching these animes and other, pieces of media and being like, oh my God, I would ship myself with this person or whatever. Like, I really like this person, this your anime crush or whatever, but didn't know what to do with it until you found fan fiction for the first time.
100%, because I'm such a big daydreamer, and I'm very like I love like my fictional world. I love like my media, and 100%. So I remember the first night, it was like I just happened to scroll across, and it was like Levi Reader, and I actually had thought until that point that fan fiction was purely between two other characters, right? Because I'd heard about when a show ends or a relationship doesn't happen in the show, that people will kind of write their own canon, and I just didn't know it was a thing. And I came across it, and I was like, "This is what I've needed." And since then, like Reader X Reader fanfic, it brings me so much joy. And one of like my like someone I follow on Tumblr had kind of made a post the other day and said like, "It's actually really complex to write X Reader fanfic because you have to do so many kind of perspectives." But 100%, I remember thinking like, oh my God, this is gonna complete me. It just brings you so much comfort because yeah, 100%, like I'll watch an anime and I'll be like, oh my God, I could date him for sure. I could date him. Let me write this.
I can fix him. I can
Self-indulgent.
fix him.
I can fix him. 100%.
That's the thing too, is in YN spaces, especially with characters that are super complex, or maybe a villain character or whatever, there are so many ways that people perceive a character that, I think it was during the pandemic, I was super into Hawks from My
Oh,
Hero Academia, and I
yes.
still am. He's still the love of my life, but I was thoroughly obsessed with him, and there were so many Twitter posts about oh no, he would be like this as a partner, he would be like this and that, and at some point you just have to let it go, because there was just so much of me like, you don't know the character, I know the character.
I think that's like really funny you brought that up, because you'd said like my experience with YN fic, and I think writing Levi specifically is such a tough one, because people are constantly like, you can't write him being submissive, but he wouldn't be dominant because his mom worked in a brothel. You can't do this. And there's like all these things, and it's like it's really, really funny because when I did start reading like the first pieces on Tumblr, like the Levi characterization was like, wow. Like looking back, and I remember that's kind of what urged me to kind of write it, because I was like, I feel like I understand him. I want to bring something to the table here. But yeah, it's really funny. Even now, like I see people kind of having like discourse, and they're like, Gojo would never say, Gojo is not a man whore. Saying a big argument.
Especially with those player characters, there are so many people, and I don't know if they're YN readers specifically, because I just see them on social media, right? That are like, well, he would da 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 da, and you're like, leave my fantasy alone. He would love me. He would take care of me. I don't care what you think. You don't know what it's like to be in my body.
No, because 100%, because you always see those people that are like, we shouldn't be sexualizing or romanticizing Levi. He's been taking care of the cadets. Like, he's an old man. Like, leave him alone. It's like, no, he's a romantic in my eyes, okay? He just needs to be loved and warmed up.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I mean, enough people decided that your characterization of a submissive Levi was good enough to go semi-viral for a moment in your fanfic July, so
And even looking back on that, because it was like a request I'd received on Wattpad, and I remember the girl was like, she kept asking me, like, could you try? And I was like, I don't think I could do that. Like, it just felt like such a challenge for me.
Yeah.
And then I wrote it, and I remember I, like, messaged, like, the reader. I was like, I wrote it. And, like, she never got back to me. So, like, the irony of that. And then one day I was, like, on TikTok, and I saw this video, and someone was like, I just read the best Levi fic ever. And everyone in the comments was like, it's called July. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
We're reading it. And it was like, I didn't have a lot of confidence in it. And even now, like, you know, when you think about going back to your old works, you just want to, like, edit the crap out of it. But yeah, I know a few people were kind of like, no, I couldn't read it. And then other people were like, yes, submissively mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that must have been a weird feeling to see, like, other people talking about your fic. Because, like, you know, that's happened before where, you know, we talk about a fic on the podcast and then the author will reach out to me and be like, I was, like, scrolling about or whatever, and I saw, like, the title of your episode and thought that the title was way too close to the fanfic that I'd written, and I'm just like, ha-ha, because you're right.
We promoted you a little.
Yeah, I was like, I really like your fanfic. I hope I did it justice, heart.
definitely. And I think it's like a really interesting thing, because, you know, on AO3, like, you have those, like, same commenters, like, those loyal people that will comment and be like, I love your writing and it gives me serotonin, I have a hard day at work and then I read your work, and, like, feels like, it's just so sweet to read that. And then I was, like, going through all these TikTok comments on this video and everyone was like, wow, this was, like, you know, smackingly delicious.
TikTok was a crazy time around then, because you started writing, obviously, you said it before in this episode, that you started writing in the pandemic era.
Yes.
You know, you had been in anime, but, like, you didn't get into, like, fanfiction or anything. And Maya and I have talked about, like, how fanfiction kind of became this way bigger thing during the pandemic, and either because people had, they had more time on their hands, and they had, like, more time to have internet access and look through all this stuff. And, like, Maya and I have been in fandom and fanfiction spaces since we were, like, in middle school, so it was, like, a very weird thing going through, kind of the similarly where you said, like, oh, people in your school thought you watching Attack on Titan was weird. I mean, we went through the same thing of, like, watching anime was weird, especially writing and reading fanfic was weird. Did not mention those things. And then suddenly, like, one day was like, everyone's talking about this one fanfic. Like, I could never forget until the day I die. Even if I got, like, Alzheimer's, I will still remember the TikTok trend of people reading In Another Life, of being like, me before reading In Another Life, and then people just absolutely bawling, and me being like, what, this is a trend, like, people are reading fan fiction now. And you even mentioned in your email, like, the 7 minutes era.
Oh my god, I can never escape the 7 minutes fanfic. Because at one point I was reading it on, like, a Google Doc that, like, someone had managed to salvage. Yes.
What a crazy time that was. I cannot imagine what it is to be, first of all, that author. Because if you're listening and you don't know what 7 minutes is, it was this, like, crazy popular Eren Jaegerman fic from Attack on Titan, where it was, like, very modern AU, like, it was a 7 minutes in heaven kind of thing, got out, what, 2 or 3 chapters before wiping the thing completely.
Yes.
It was because insane. It got, like, way too big, and people were, like, don't get me wrong, like, people were going absolutely crazy over it and being like, give me a next chapter now!
Classic.
But wiping it was just, like, crazy of, like, it was their woman gone the next. And it was, like, a whole tidal wave on TikTok. But, you know, was that kind of also a part of you being more comfortable in finding, you know, seeing this fan fiction link on the website that you were at and clicking it and actually reading it? Like, did that, what's the word I'm trying to say, like, assist you or, like, in any way?
100%, because what was really interesting was I was kind of reading, like, Wattpad fanfic and some fanfic on Tumblr, and I was, like, trying to find, because I feel like it can be really hard to find, like, some good authors on Tumblr, because it's
absolutely,
it's not, like, algorithmic, really, so you have to really, like, scour. And I remember with the 7 minutes fanfic that people were like, it was originally posted on AO3 and then someone had it on AO3 or something, and I remember that was my first, like, hearing about AO3, and then I saw videos, right, of, like, people screen recording, like, how to use it, and I remember thinking, like, I'm too dumb for this shit. Like, yeah. I can't operate this fucking, like, this website. And I was like, this is not for me. And then like, I was seeing, like, surges of videos of people being like, Wattpad is, like, bottom tier. Tumblr is, yeah, like, marginally better. But AO3 is, like, is at the top. So I was like, okay, God tier. I'm going to get it. And I remember, like, I was, like, trying to sign up. And I think it took them, like, 3 weeks to, like, give me an account. And I was so, yeah, excited. I was like, this feels like an elite, like, I'm stepping up my reading. Like, mm-hmm. I was so excited. And then and I was watching, like, loads of videos of, like, people on TikTok of, like, giving, like, fic recommendations on AO3. Mm-hmm. And then I found, like, Captain Degenerate, The Queen Herself with, like, Levi Fic. And yeah, it just opened up so much for me. Like, I was so happy to see people talking about it, because I think there's, like, a big portion of the anime community that loves fanfic, and then there's another big portion that hates it, right? Yeah. So yeah.
And for you specifically, I guess it's even more of a difficult time, because then there is, like, the conversation of, like, how there's, as you said, when you were talking about, like, oh, my idea of fanfiction was, like, shipping two characters together. And yes, for a lot of people, like, that's the only, like, real fanfiction, and, like, YN fanfiction is even lower tier somehow.
Yes, and it really, like, it's such a shame, because I feel like people do so much with, like, reader fanfiction, because, mm-hmm, I feel like you can do so much more than you can almost do with, like, original characters sometimes, because you are literally the character. And I feel like you can read, like, original character fanfic, and you can, like, kick your feet a little, but, like, when it's with the reader, like, I get so happy.
Yeah,
I just think it's so immersive, and I think it's, like, so creative, and I think that's what I really love about fanfic as well, because it's, like, we're literally doing this purely out of, like, creativity, and we want to share, mm-hmm, with other people and, like, enjoy our characters. I just think it's the most pure, wholesome, cool thing ever.
It's the best. Honest. Like, it's the
best.
I have, like, no, like, I love every single author that we have ever had on here, but, like, I have such an attachment to, like, the YN authors. Like, I have, like, my own secret agenda of, like, having every single YN author on, just so that they know that, like, their work is cherished and loved, because it's, like, you know, a YN fanfic will never be the most popular, which is also why, like, 7 Minutes becoming popular was, like, crazy, because it was, yes, a YN fanfiction.
Of course.
But it is that very much thing of, like, it's not going to be the most popular, and people still have a stigma around it, and that's, like, maybe kind of what you said about, like, One Direction, it became really big. But, yeah, like, those One Direction people who are writing YN, One Direction fanfiction, they were teenagers or children, preteens, when they started writing that. But they grew up, and their writing grew up with them. And it's, like, they're still writing YN fanfiction, because that just never leaves you. 100%. And, like, now it's just the best work, but there is still the stigma of, like, it's lower tier, it's not as well written, like, all this stuff. And it's, like, but it is. Like, you just have to give it a chance. Like, it is so well written.
Yes, 100%, because I don't know if you've ever heard about that Levi fanfic that was on Wattpad, and the name kind of leaves me, but it was, the main character was called Ilria, and she had, like, red hair, and she had, like, this, okay, temper. That was one of the first, like, big Levi fics I read, because it was, like, 45 chapters long or something, and mm-hmm, the author kind of came back, like, a year ago, added a chapter, and then she kind of dipped again, but that was, like, an original character fanfic. And I even remember reading comments then of what people, like, I kind of, it has a special place in my heart, that fic does. Mm-hmm. I feel like she influenced a lot with Levi fic, but also people were like, oh, like, this original character's, like, terrible. And it's like, people sometimes are not happy whether it's an original character or whether it's the reader, but I think, mm-hmm, what's great about, like, ex-reader fic is it's so versatile, because you'll, yes, see people tag it and they're like, this reader's, like, she's, like, a lawyer, or like, this reader's, like, in college, or, uh-huh, this reader has this, and it's, like, so cool and versatile that it's a thing. And I think it people need to recognize it more, for sure, because, as I said, I didn't even know it existed until I found it, and I was, yes, like, I would have been reading fanfic a long ass time ago if I knew this was what was popping.
No, and I totally agree about the versatility, especially when it comes in, like, people are so, and I totally understand why, like, I'm very much the same way when it comes to, like, established characters of, like, the evil characters in the show are evil characters in the fanfic, and, like, you don't want to make the characters who you're shipping, who, like, are, you know, your OTP or whatever, like, bad characters or whatever. But when it's, like, a YN character, an original character, that's when you can make them, like, as fucked up, unhinged. Like, there was, yes, this period of time, if everyone probably remembers, of Maya constantly reading Gojo cheating fan fiction.
Yeah, I remember listening to you.
She constantly read a bunch of cheating fan fiction, and, like, that is, like, a thing where it's, like, you can take these characters and like this character could be an awful piece of shit to the YN character because it's not like, oh, but like then they wouldn't do that. Or it's like the YN character could be cheating and an awful fucking person and like, or you can make them both be awful fucking people because it's just like you have full reign on this original character, this YN character, because they don't exist. People don't have a pre-existing notion of like this character would never do this. This character doesn't act like this. And it's just, again, like you said, just free range.
And that's why I love like a possessive reader. Like I love when people are tagged and they're like, Gojo's possessive, but so is reader in this thing. I'm like, yes, make them both crazy, please.
Absolutely.
It's like a blank slate, like go crazy with it. And I love that because I feel like what I love about reader fanfic is I think there's this conception like, oh, it's just like a blank slate. Like you're essentially reading like a blank, and it's so not true because I feel like every ex-reader fic you read, you're getting like a piece of that author, like their humor or like their opinion on something, or that's just so cool to me.
I love them. I love them so much. But what I also love is a smut writer, which you are.
Yes, indeed.
I have gushed about my love for smut and smut writers, but like my slight embarrassment for like writing it, I have written it, but like, I don't know why. Like I am just like a little embarrassed when I like start to write. Even like when Maya was betaing my stuff, I was like, read it. Don't tell me shit all about it. Like we're just going to pretend like I didn't write it. But you started strong. You started diving into the deep end, started out with the username in all caps, AOT smut, which I have so much respect for. What was it about the genre, I guess, or like the rating of explicit that made you just started strong, started right in the deep end, didn't even bother with like that general, even teen and up rating?
I love this question for so many reasons, purely because at first I remember like getting like my like smut out there and thinking like, maybe I should write some fluff. And I was like, no, I feel like as like a woman and just like, you know, I personally don't want to really like watch porn or things like this. Mm-hmm. But I remember like I was in lockdown and I like read this fic and I was like, this is like the sexiest thing I've read in a long ass time. And it's like with the character that like lives in my heart, like me and Levi, we walk around and run errands together. He's one true love. And I was like, to think that I could write this and I could put in my own fantasies and I could do my own spin on it and like have people enjoy that too and like have it be like this experience. Because I remember like I first released the first few chapters of like my like smut shots and stuff, and people would message me and be like, this is so hot, like this is the hottest thing I've ever read. And I was like, no way, I have to continue because I just feel like it just opened up so much for me when I first knew it was like a thing and I read it and it was like reader and it was like smut. I was like, this is what I want to do. Yes, because I feel like you can write that and you can almost do like a character study of sorts, you know, like you're really going into like these little like, you know, mannerisms of like the character, and you can make it so real. And I think you can do that with fluff 100% because a lot of the time it's like a comfort thing and we can apply it to real life. It's like comforting you after like a dentist appointment, right? Like what's really good about smut is that like it's something that we all kind of experience 100% in some way, that tension, that like first kiss, these like moments. And I feel like you can breathe so much life into them when you write them, and then that just drives people crazy. And like there'll always be a commenter that's like, in this one part where he did this, and I'm like, yes, you know it. So yeah, I'm just so passionate about it.
Absolutely. It's also like smut is the one thing that is completely like untouched, where it's like the writer really has to like go into and interpret the character in everything else that they do, because you're not going to get a smut scene unless you're like reading a BL or
it's like a complete challenge, isn't it? Because you have to think like, okay, how would they act? Like you have to really sit there and think like, no, he wouldn't say that, like he wouldn't do this, he wouldn't. And I feel like it's just, it can be so much deeper, because like if you're writing a fluff of someone comforting someone, like we've more or less seen our characters do that in some way. So it's something that's completely off the board, really. I think it takes a lot of like time and like creativity, and I'm just obsessed.
Absolutely. And I mean, like, that is exactly what we want from like smut writers, because even when you were like, oh, like maybe I should write fluff, no, there's enough people, like there's people writing fluff. Go ahead, what did you say?
No, I'm just saying I completely agree. Sorry, like it's exactly like there's so much fluff out there even, I think. And I think it can almost get lost. But I feel like with smut, like you're not gonna forget that one like smut you read.
yes,
in that one situation, because you also have to like frame the scene of like the relationship between the reader and then the character. So you have to just frame so much, and like the setting, like are they out in a restaurant? Like, is it in the canon? Is it out of the canon? And you have to build all these details to really make it hit. So yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And fan fiction smut authors do it so well. Like I love fan fiction and I love novels. I just love reading. I love like just intaking written content. And like there was a time when like a certain author who I'm not going to name got really popular, and she wrote like sex scenes in her books, and they were published on like Twitter that I came across. And I remember reading like these two or three pages that someone had posted onto Twitter, and I was like, this is what you guys are absolutely, you should read fan fiction if you think you don't know good until you've read fan fiction.
Oh my god the truth you have just spoken, because exactly, like it's like when people talk about like 50 Shades of Grey, like, you know, no shade to 50 Shades, but I'm like, the fic I have read, like it's scandalous, you guys have no idea. Like I'm in my room like blushing, like there's like an imaginary camera, and I'm turning to it like, oh my god, I'm blessed. Like I read smut sometimes and I'm like, I can't believe I get this for free.
Yes,
I can't believe it, like the talent. And I just feel like it's crazy in fic, especially with reader fic, that like so much is delved into about like the kind of sexual experience, because it's just crazy to me, like the detail fic writers do not shy away from.
And I love it too, because it's like they are just completely unadulterated and uninhibited from like a publishing house. Like it's just whatever they want. And like, I know that a lot of fan fiction authors who write smut are like, do not take this as like education or, you know, anything of the sort. But like, I will say in a lot of fan fiction smut that I write, they do a much better job at like consent and aftercare and protection than like most traditionally published media.
It's so crazy you say that, because a few months ago I started to kind of like pick up some romance novels, and for like years now, like I read fanfic all the time, and I come across like the first sex scene, and I was like, wait, where is the consent for him just degrading her all of a sudden? Like, why did they not have a conversation about what they were interested in? And like, I always joke, and my friends are like, you're never going to find this, but I'm like, I want someone to ask to kiss me, right? Like in fanfic, I feel like you see it so often, and there's just consent, and that's what makes it hotter. Like it's literally written by women. We're writing like men written by women. And I read a book like not long ago, and I was like, oh shit, like I forget that like books do it differently, and it's like one page of smut and it's done. Like give me the 8,000 words, please.
Yes, I need a full book just about the smut alone. But I know that romance novels are having their like moment in the sun, and I'm so happy about that like women are being able to like love their romance novels out in, you know, the open again. But like I have been so spoiled by fan fiction that I'm really picky about my romance novels, because I just can't do like poorly written romance anymore, where there is like no communication, there is no consent, you know, the male character is just fucking awful to the woman character, or like, because fan fiction has just spoiled me in terms of romance and in smut. Like I'm so picky about my romance novels now because of like the exact things that you have said.
No, 100%. And this is why I'm like, I praise fanfic so much, because I'm like, if people actually gave it a chance, like the level of writing you get, the level of like detail and like heart, emotion, like 100%. Like every time I read a book now, I always think like, I've read a scene that could be similar to this in a fanfic before, and it's unforgettable, you know? And then books, it's like, as I said, it's like one page, and then it's like the morning, and then we're back to like plot, which is great. But I feel like it's what I love about fanfic, like we really delve in, and like some writers they might go through it quickly, and some writers like it's a 12,000 word affair, you know, and it's like going through every single, and I just adore that. So 100%.
Yeah, and I think especially in terms of like smut that you mentioned before, of like there are so many women in my life, women who I have met online, who said that like they didn't really like porn, they didn't like visual things, but then they read erotica for the first time and they were like, holy shit. And it's like, that is like so important, because I feel like women, and I like don't mean to generalize, but I'm generalizing, like get so much more out of written erotica than like they will ever know, because we've just been normalized to like visual pornography, that like when you experience like that like lemon fanfic erotic novels for the first time, it really opens something in you. And I do think that, like, smut fan fiction writers are, like, almost that gateway, like, a very safe gateway of, like, easily accessible, and, like, you can find exactly the tags you want and, like, what you want to find, either it being, like, very gentle and soft or, like, very kinky and, like, what you want. And it's just, like, I feel like I don't have any research behind it, but I feel like it just does so much for, like, the population of women as a whole.
It's so crazy you say that, because you said, like a safe, and I was literally thinking, like, it's such a safe place. And you actually reminded me that, yeah, when I was younger, I the first erotica I read was my roommate Mai. Like, I see if I can find it online and, like, give it to you or something, because it's like this guy, and it's his female roommate, and it's like a little smut piece. And then I actually remember one of the first fanfics I did read was, you remember that show Shake It Up on Disney Channel?
Yes!
I was obsessed with, like, Zendaya, I still am, but, like, Bella and Rocky, and I read, like, a lemon fic of them, like, and I remember being, like, dazzled, because I was like, this is what is, like, so arousing to me, like, and I think that's what's so great about smut writers, because we're just consistently, like, as women, we kind of know what other women want, and I feel like a lot of even novels, films, like, they just kind of get it wrong as to what, like, women kind of want. And as you said, like, you can read a fanfic about a character and he'll be, like, really gentle, or he can be really, but it's whatever you want it to be. But then, you know, it's like, I always like to write aftercare in my works. I'm like, because I love to, like, fluff it up a little, no matter how it was. And I love to, like, make it that little bit more real. And just, fanfic just touches so many women, and it just kind of gives us this safe space. Like, you think about how many different kinds of people read fanfic out there, like, in different jobs, and, like, you know, like, I'm a uni student, and, like, I have a stressful day, I sit back, I read some Gojo reader, I read some Levi reader, and it's so cool, I think, you know?
Yeah, it is. It really is. Like, I'm so happy to be a part of it, just because I love it. It's so great. Some of the people, like, and they do it for free. Like, I can't even, like, it gives people so much, and they just do it for free, and it's like, wow. My whole heart.
It's so rich. Like, I can think of, like, I've spent, like, 2 summers now, almost 3, like, sitting and writing, and I just adore it. And I can think of, like, times when I'm, like, strapped with, like, assignments, and I've kind of finished them, and I've been, like, to my readers, I'm gonna write the next chapter, guys, and I knuckle down and I sit down and I write, and it just brings me so much joy. And it's, like, it's funny, because I've seen a lot of, like, conversation recently about, like, feedback on fics when people are, like, critiquing, and how these things can, like, lead people away from writing. And I think that's so true, because with writing, like, it is so simple, as, like, we just want to create and we want to, like, share that with people. And yeah, I just think it's such a beautiful thing. Yeah, just I'm a fanfic fanatic.
Yes, fanfic stan for the rest of my life. 100%. But in terms of your writing, when you do write fanfiction, like you said, for the past 2 or 3 years, are you a planner or are you a pantser? Do you typically plan out a fic before writing, or do you just start writing, you have one idea and you're like, that's great, we're gonna start, engine's ready, we're going now?
So this is, again, a really interesting question, because when it comes to long fics, like with Fable, like, I've had every single detail, like, planned from the beginning. Like, I have, like, a timeline and everything. But with, like, smut shots, one shots, is so interesting, because I'm a waitress, like, at work, right? And I've done this so many times. I'll be, like, serving a table, and then, like, dialogue will pop into my head, like, a line I can imagine, you know, one of, like, my faves saying, and I'm like, oh my gosh, and I will, like, run downstairs, get out my phone and write it down, and just that spur, like, me going home after and writing, like, 5,000, 6,000, 8,000 words of just, like, smut just based on that one line. Or sometimes it's a concept for me, but most of the time it's planned, but not. So, like, I could think of, like, a line or a situation, and I'll write it down, and I will just say go. Like, if the inspiration is there, I will just write the whole thing. Or sometimes I plan, but I plan in terms of, again, like, dialogue. So I'll have, like, a whole page of dialogue, and I'm like, let me put that together with what they're gonna do. So in a way, more of a planner, yes. Like, a bit methodical with it even.
I think that's probably the best way to go about it, though, in terms of, like, your multi-chapter versus one-shot work, because it's like, unfortunately, I, being a pantser, who is trying to be a planner, who writes a lot of multi-shot, like, multi-chapter stuff, knows that if you just, like, pants your way through it, you're gonna get to a point where you have, like, nothing left.
Yeah, you kind of, like, run out of steam.
Yeah, and you're like, I'm fucked. Like, I have no more idea, but, like, I want to get to this point, but I don't know what happens between point A and point B, and I really fucked myself over in some regards. But having that, like, you know, really passionate energy to just start writing for a one shot. So I think you have, I think, like, out of everyone that I've talked about this, you probably have the best notion of, like, planning here and pantsing here, and I'm good. And it's like, fuck.
Damn it. It's definitely balance, yeah, because, like, with Fable, there's been times where I'm like, I'm going to consult the document I have that's, like, every event that I plan to happen, because sometimes I do feel like, oh, I'm pantsing it a little. And I haven't updated since January because I've been busy, but I'm, like, scheduling, like, I'm, like, February. I'm going to sit and I'm going to write. but 100%, yeah, it's a planning process, sometimes more than others, because, like, you know how it is, like, you get that, like inspiration, you're like, I've got to write right now, and sometimes that sustains you till the end, and then sometimes it's like day two and you're like, oh, I can't write it for like, like, what I love to do is like write a thick, like, go full hell for leather, and then it's like, you know, 4,000 words in and I'm like, I'm gonna come back to this in like a month. And then I happen upon it again and I'm like, oh my god, I know what to do now, and then I just go right back in again. So yeah,
in terms of Fable, because I know that you have had fan art commissioned for Fable, did you get it commissioned in the planning process of like, oh, I know this chapter is coming up and I want fan art for this chapter? Or was it an afterthought of like, that was a really cool chapter, I want fan art about it?
So when I first like even thought of Fable, it was when I just finished the Attack on Titan manga, which is, it's a beautiful ending, but it's also very painful. And I think a lot of people, I first wrote Nurse, which was like a one shot I uploaded as soon as the manga ended, actually. I remember put the like the chapter down and I wrote it and I uploaded it straight away, and everyone was like, oh, this is what we needed. And it was like Levi, and like he falls in love with his nurse, so it's like quite sappy. But then like a week or so later, I started thinking like, I'd love to write like a long fic about what happens to Levi after the, you know, the canon. And like, I thought of Fable and I was like, I want to commission art for this right now. I wanted like it to be like the front cover for when I uploaded it. And I remember I uploaded it and I had like the art on there, and people were like, oh, the art like really gives a vibe of the story, because it's called Fable because the first chapter kind of goes right into, first it goes through like the last chapter of the manga, and then it kind of skips to the present. And Levi and Rita are shopping and she finds like a book. It's called like the Book of Fables. So in the art, like he's holding this book and he's like asleep, because I really wanted Fable to have this vibe of like domesticity and like kind of like a slice of life feel, honestly. And yeah, I had to, like, I had the image of like of that in my head, and I like got all these reference images, and I was like to this artist like, please, I think you can pull this off like really well. And yeah, and it helped me kind of actualize it a little bit more and get excited about it.
What is the, I guess, the process of, I don't think I've ever spoken to somebody like who has gotten fan art of it. I mean, I know the process of getting fan art done, but like, you know, getting someone to actualize, especially in terms of a YN fic, like the ideas that you have for artwork.
So I had like a bunch of images of like some Levi fan art and some Levi official art of kind of how I wanted him to look. And I had the concept of him kind of like lying down asleep with like the book in his hand. Because I really wanted this like cozy vibe, because like a lot of Fable is kind of described in winter. Like, I don't really explicitly mention time that much, but it's kind of implied that it's always a little bit cold. I wanted him to be like wearing a turtleneck, and I was like, could you make the lighting like golden, almost like the sun's setting and it's like a Sunday and he's asleep with the book in his hand. So yeah, but there was, I definitely was like, I need like a picture for this, because I wanted to use it for like the Wattpad cover, and I did for a while. Yeah. And I would upload it on Tumblr with like the chapters on like a little device. Yeah. Like Fable chapter 2. So yeah.
Very nice. Well, we've gotten to the portion where I have a double-sided question for you. Ooh. So it is there a trope that you have yet to write that you really, really want to? And then on the other side, is there a trope or an AU that you would never write in a million years?
Oh, wow. This is such an interesting question. So the thing that I have not written, but I have increasing curiosity about, is actually Omegaverse. I feel like there's so much that could be done there with some of my favorite characters, but I'm very scared to breach it because I know it's like very terminology heavy. Like, I feel like to sit, research, really understand what's going on there. But it's also funny because it's also something I always said I would never write. I'm like, I could never write that. So for AU wise, something I would never write, let me think. I don't know, actually. Because I've always said Omegaverse, but my mind has changed.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because our number one answer for what you would never write is the Omegaverse, for like a variety of different reasons. But yeah, it is our it's definitely our number one answer of people being like, I would never write the Omegaverse. And I don't ever think I've actually gotten someone who has said, I have not written the Omegaverse yet, but I really want to.
Because I feel like it's the one thing I have left that I've not really like delved into. Mm-hmm. But I just realized the thing I would never write is like overly historical. I just couldn't. Oh, okay. I struggle with that. Like, I just couldn't imagine writing like a 1900s. And I love reading fic like that sometimes. Like you know, like the character's a knight and you're like a princess. Like, I love that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a prisoner of war or something.
Yeah.
I feel like I could never write that, actually. So I think that's the AU I would never write. Like, mm-hmm. probably never. I've written like a one shot before where it's like with Levi. It's called like the King's Daughter. So he becomes like her bodyguard. So like, I kind of like that trope. But like, to actually like do a fully fleshed out like historical fic,
yeah,
never do, I think. So that's probably my answer, actually.
Is it the same thing that you have for Omegaverse, where it's a lot of research, a lot of terminology that you'd have to like do in terms of making it so that the historical part of the fic like as fluid as possible?
I think it's that, and I also think like I like to like read like manga and like manhwa, like BL and stuff like this. And to be mm-hmm. fair, like whenever I come across like a historical one, I always just kind of flip past it. I think it takes like a certain character or like a certain writer for me to like actually sit and go, yeah, I'll read this like historical one shot or like multi-fic, because it interests me while also not interesting me, but also terminology does kind of scare me. Like, if you write something historical, I think you'd have to like really commit. I think like something 1920s could be cool, but then I think you also have to prepare for like misogyny of the time or mm-hmm. like things like that. And, you know, I think that would be hard for me to write around, I feel.
For sure. Yeah, it definitely takes, because I wouldn't say that historical is my like favorite genre, even in a traditionally published space. Mm-hmm. It definitely takes like a very interesting storyline for me. Like, I'm not just going to read something because it's set in like the 1950s or like 1800s. Yeah, it definitely needs like a catching story where I'm like, ooh, that's like a like Taylor Reid's books, like The Seven Hutchins of Evelyn Hugo and Daisy Ridley. Yes. Like, those are historical technically because they're not set in modern times, obviously, but like, it wasn't even that. It's like the premise of the story itself that I was like, that's really interesting, so I will read it even if it's historical. But if it's just historical, that's not enough for me.
100%. Yeah, exactly. 100%. Even like shows like on Netflix, when they come out and it's like mm-hmm. a historical show, like, it really does take me a minute. Like, I can get into it, but like, I'm kind of begrudged about it. I'm like, oh, give me like two episodes and then I'll get interested. But yeah, it's not my go-to, I suppose. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. That, or it needs to have really, really good reviews, like Peaky Blinders. Like, just really good reviews.
Exactly.
And then for your Omegaverse, if you ever decide to, I would just say, personally, as an Omegaverse reader, you just have to read a bunch of fan fiction. Like, don't even try with like a Wikipedia page or anything. Like, that is just not really going to do much. Like, I understand what people are trying to do in the terms of like, here's the basics. You just gotta like, again, like what you did for Smut, is just like dive straight into that pool of like, okay, cool, I'm surrounding myself by a bunch of Omegaverse fanfiction, and I'm going to parse together, because there's pretty much a basic set of rules that are unwritten that people follow, and, like, that's just the best way to, like, figure it all out. It's just reading a bunch
of Omegaverse. Now I want to just read loads. Like, now I want to, like, delve in, now you've said that, because I do see, like, the tag pops up, you know, of, like, so many popular characters, and I'm always like, should mm-hmm. I? And I'm like, I'm not going to breach this today. But now I'm
Maybe someday.
Like, now I really want to, actually. Because I just think, there's a lot of space for it, isn't there? Like, to do.
And it's really interesting. I don't really get to talk about the Omegaverse a lot, because it's an averse kind of thing for a lot of people, which I totally respect and I totally understand. It's a very odd genre that, you know, was formed because of fan fiction and all this stuff. But I think it's like such a fun space to play with the dynamics, because like, obviously it's a very hierarchical system. Mm-hmm. But like, I love when people play around with that, where like the Omegas are the powerful ones, or just the basics over it all. I love when people play with that world and have a very unique idea, and it's not just like Alpha's on top, Omega's on bottom. Like, I love when that world is played with. And also, as much as I love fan fiction Smut authors, I love Omegaverse smut fanfiction authors. They have smut down to like a science. And like, I don't, like, there is something, and maybe it is like the feral aspects of like the animalistic side of it that is just so good.
You have honestly convinced me. I feel convinced because I've read like a few, like I've read one that's kind of the reader, mm-hmm. Levi Irwin, and it's one of my favorites actually. And you are so right, because it's like the dynamics and the hierarchical system is, it's almost like real life, just like exaggerated, like in a way. And I think you are so right of like the power play of it all. And like, yeah, now I really want to go and dive in and read some Omegaverse. Like, you've convinced me to
read. Oh my god, I'm so I truly like love it, but I just don't get the space to talk about it enough. And it really is just like, it's one of those things for when I started reading it, it was like, I don't think I should like it, but I really but I kind of like it a lot. Like, you feel like you're doing something wrong. Like, this is like, oh my god. Like, it doesn't matter how much, like erotica you have read. Like, the weirdness of Omegaverse with, like, the nodding and the slick and, like, the ruts and the heat are just so weird that you're like, I feel like I'm doing something wrong. I feel like I shouldn't like this as much as I'm liking this right now.
Yeah, because I feel like it really was like invented. Like, you just feel the invention of it when you read it. You're like, I have never read anything similar to this in my life. And I know there's so many girlies out there that love it, that like love like the werewolves in like TV shows. And this was like, because I know you get like hybrids sometimes. I've seen like hybrid fic, and I've seen like all this stuff. And I'm like, I love it. I love that there's like a place, because I know there's people that love this. And the stuff I have read, yeah, it's so like raw, I feel.
Yeah. It's
that like animal element. It's very raw.
Yeah, it kind of is. And it's just, yeah, it's just really good, especially when the author plays with those dynamics. I think it is my favorite. Like, I will still read when it's very like traditional Omegaverse and like alpha's on top, omega's on bottom, whatever. But like, I really love, you know, when it's like alpha beta or like beta omega or beta beta, because I don't think beta get like enough love in the Omegaverse. It's always alpha and omega. I love a good beta, because I just think I would be in a beta, because I'm like, I don't think I'm any particular way in either regard. So I just feel like I'd be a normal ass beta. So I love when they're like put into stories and like our main characters, because it's like, yes, the regular man is involved.
It's me. No, I love that you said that 100%, because I also love that it's weirdly like very human. Like, I feel like if you were reading like a, you know, a shot that was an Omegaverse and someone was talking about the scent of their favorite character like a lot, people would be like, yo, like, what's going on? But like, in Omegaverse, people are like, oh, the way she smells, it's like vanilla, and it's this specific smell. And it just goes crazy for them, you know? And I like those descriptions. That's what I can really appreciate about Omegaverse, and how oftentimes when like the characters are in like ruts, how it's so like, you know, it's so like, you know, like that meme of like the wolf like tearing his clothes off, you know?
Yeah.
That same urgency almost in other fix in that way, and I appreciate that 100%.
And it's really like, because you mentioned before like the possessive, you're like, oh, like a possessive, you know, YN and a possessive, like there is that possessive quality in Omegaverse fan fiction that is like just perfect. It's like, maybe I'd be like, so I don't know if I'd like that, but I love it in my fiction. Like, it's like
so real. Too real, Sydney. Too real.
But it's like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I just don't get the chance to talk about the Omegaverse a lot, but I really do like it. I like when authors play with the dynamics, the hierarchy, you know, the alpha, beta, omega system. I love the smut they write. Like, I love, like, all the different weird things about it. And I love that it was just solely invented by fanfiction authors. I think that is, like, my favorite part. That is, this is something that is truly, like, this was something created by fanfiction authors, because we are fucking weird and I love being weird. And, like, it's my favorite thing.
Because we're so, like, out of the box, really. Like, and I will say, like, you were kind of saying earlier about, like, kinky fic. And like, honestly, fanfic helped me realize a lot about the things I was into, honestly. And, like, you can kind of experience that without actually going out there and going through the dangers almost at times of experiencing that. And I just love that, like, a lot of fic authors, like, we don't shy away from, like, certain themes, certain kinks. And I just love that. Like, 100, like, with the Omegaverse, like, that is what's so special about it. As I said to you, like, you feel that it, like, it's invented, you know, like there's all these rules, but like, as you said, they're like unwritten. So yeah.
love the Omegaverse. Going back to you publishing fan fiction, you have published and do publish on several platforms, AO3, Wattpad, Tumblr, you have said. Did you or do you see a difference in the different platforms, maybe a difference in the type of comments that you get, the type of commenters? Is one platform maybe more receptive to YN fan fiction or smut fan fiction than the others?
So this is very interesting because a few months ago with Wattpad, they actually like retired my account, and it was quite sad for me because I had like a whole, like I first uploaded anything was on Wattpad, and I had like this little family of like commenters, and it was really what I liked about uploading like one shots on there was like when I would do it more regularly, it was like the same people would comment and be like, oh my god, this like it's perfect, even when sometimes you have to deal with like the part 2, part 3, it can be tough sometimes, like you stay up all night writing and then you upload it and someone's like, yeah, cool, part 2. So with Wattpad, I had like this little family on there, but what's been quite sweet is like a lot of my Wattpad readers have kind of like followed me over on like AO3 and like Tumblr. Right. And I think Tumblr is more fun for genuinely like interacting with the fandom in a way, like there's like this kind of thing called like a drabble, right? So it's like 1,000 words, and it's like a more of like a snapshot than like a one shot, right? And I really enjoy that, and I enjoy like uploading like a Gojo thought or like a Levi thought, and people are like, yes, and you've got like mutuals on there. But I think a lot of authors struggle sometimes with uploading on Tumblr because work can get lost, or it's like people will reblog without kind of leaving feedback. And I know that's always like a thing, but I will say with AO3, since I've uploaded AO3 on Fable, I get like the most beautiful comments. And you already know, like on AO3, like you just get like a comment sometimes and it just like brightens your day. And it's so lovely because you feel like on AO3, like when someone finds your fic, it's like they always kind of hold on to it. And you might get like a comment from them like 6 months down the line, like, hey, if you want to update, that's cool. But if you never do, like I'm always going to be here rereading. So yeah, it's definitely a different feel from each of the platforms for sure. But at the moment, it's I always upload on AO3. Tumblr is sometimes, or just for more like unhinged content, like I'll Tumblr and I'll be like, imagine Tipsy Gojo, like he'd just have to put your hand over his mouth, he's too loud, and all my mutuals were like, yes, more, tell me more. So it's like a thirsting kind of thing, and it's like gifts of like the newest episodes, so it's more of I feel interacting with the fandom while also interacting with other writers, which is cool on Tumblr, I'd say.
Yeah, and I do feel that with AO3, like, I can understand the readers there, like, keeping, you know, the fic very close to them, because I have read a lot of fanfiction on Tumblr, and the bad thing about Tumblr is, like, you can find a fanfiction 1 minute and completely lose it the next minute, and, like, it just disappears and you'll never see it ever again.
Oh my god, yes, like, so many times I've found, like, really good work on Tumblr. What I do now is I, like, save it as a draft. Like, I go to reblog it and I, like, have it saved. So you can keep it on AO3. And I do think a big difference between AO3 and Tumblr is like, because it's like a social networking app, like people are scrolling, right? Like how we scroll on Instagram, TikTok, all these other like platforms. So it's almost like on Tumblr, it's more smut based, right? Like I feel like you don't see people promoting like longer fix on there because it's like the attention span when we're all scrolling these days, it's like people love like a one shot or, you know, but what I like about AO3, it's like a rich library. You know, you can like go on someone's Tumblr, click their AO3 and be like, okay, now I'm gonna sit back and now I'm gonna read. I do notice that difference as well.
And has there, out of the three, I guess, that you have published on, is there one that, you know, you hold closer to your heart that's more special, or one that has been like your favorite overall? I mean, it can even be Wattpad, you know, I'm not like gonna shame Wattpad over here, but because I know it's very different for every author that, like, you know, this platform at this time just means so much to me, and it's like maybe I don't use it anymore, like, you know, this platform that I use now is like way better, like fuck the other one. But
I would say Wattpad does hold like a little special space in my heart because I first uploaded on there, and I remember just like garnering like those loyal readers, and then like message me, and like I'd get like really nice detailed messages like, this fic, I've never read like a fic where he's portrayed like this or where I felt like this reading this. And it was like when I would upload, like my readers, I wouldn't upload for like a month, and they'd be like, hey, are we good, like are we still uploading? And it's really sweet because I have like 37 or 8 Levi one shots. Like, I feel like I've read every single situation you could have with me, honestly. And it was just like every time I would upload, like, I just get just such lovely, like, eager reception, feedback. And it always made me feel like, yeah, like, okay, I'm writing stuff that people enjoy. But now Tumblr is definitely kind of my, you know, my hovel at the moment. Yeah. But yes.
Love Tumblr. You can't, I know it's gone through a lot, but you can't kick me off of Tumblr at this point.
Yeah, and it's so funny because my first writing account was like linked to the Tumblr account I'd had since like high school. So I made like a new one like last year because I was like, I'm ready to like leave it behind, but keep Tumblr.
Yeah.
Because you just, yeah, you can't shake it, I feel.
No. You can, I've left a lot of social media platforms behind, but I just can't seem to distance myself from Tumblr. For whatever reason, I just feel like I've been through so much on Tumblr.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
It's kind of like a trauma bond at this point. It's
constant, honestly. Like, Tumblr's been a constant since I was 11 and I'm like 21. So it's so funny, like, when Tumblr, like, a notification pops up on your phone and someone kind of looks and I'm like, oh, I just have that app because...
it's my emotional support app. Don't worry about it.
Seriously.
What has been the best writing advice that you've come across in the two, three years that you have been writing fan fiction?
That is a very, very good question. I would say just do not compare, because I think for me, like, I've had so many times of I've just stopped writing because I felt like my writing, you know, it was very like defeatist. I'd be like, what's the point of me writing when there's so many other authors who possibly, of course, write better than me or write this character better than I do. And like, I think it's so easy to like read a fic of one of your favorite characters written by somebody else and then feel like your work is inadequate and kind of go into yourself a little bit. But I think if you just don't compare and you say, you know what, I have something unique to the table, I've got like readers who like my stuff and I like my stuff, and you know, it's a creative thing for me and I enjoy it, then that's good enough. But I think for me, I had to really drill that into myself the first like year or two and tell myself, like,
for sure.
Like, I don't need to compare. Like, I bring something, everyone brings something, what they write as like a fanfic writer. And yeah, we all bring a little something to the table, to the character table.
So yeah. And I think on AO3, it can be hard too, especially when, like, you know, you can see, oh, this person's getting so many kudos and so many hits and so many comments, and I'm not getting that many comments. And you kind of feel sad about it. But like, that doesn't mean that your work is like, not as good. It's just like, maybe that work has been around like a lot longer, or it just, like, sometimes it's just luck at the end of the day.
It is I think especially with AO3, 100%, like, sometimes you just find one fic and then, well, sometimes someone finds a fic and then they upload it somewhere, they recommend it on Twitter or on like Discord or like wherever else, and then it kind of pops off. So 100%, yeah.
And then we have a YN's choice, so a Mace Ackerman's choice. Of all of the fics that you have written, which is your favorite and why?
Oof. Oh, wow.
It's a Sophie's choice for a reason. You got to choose one.
Oh, goodness. You know what? I will go classic, and I will say, like, my one-shot collection, because that's, like, a full work. Because I feel like through that I did the most growth of like writing and also writing Levi. Like, I had so much space through every single AU I tried and every single situation I wrote to really grow. And yeah, I remember like writing the first one and even the last one I wrote for the collection. I think it's just very dear to me because it's like, there's so many words in that. There's so many words. And yeah, I'll always look at it fondly. Like, I can imagine reading it in like 5 years and being like, oh wow, my brain at 18.
Oh my god, absolutely. Like, the growth, like, I have Word documents of fan fiction that like was just never published that like I hate looking at. Like, it's truly like I cannot believe what I was writing at the age of 14. But like, I try to look at it with kind eyes because it's like, oh, I was writing, but I can't. I'm like, I fucking hated everything that I was doing at the time.
It's so, you read something and you're like, what the hell was I doing?
Absolutely. You're like, Jesus Christ, couldn't you get it together?
I'm so normal.
And then we are at our final question. So what is your favorite fic or the fics that you would recommend the most?
So I actually compiled three of different characters. Yes. So the first one I'm going to mention is Menthol by Akitachi and Cyan Cherub. That fic is just, wow, I reread it like every 3 months. So it's like three chapters and it's like a really, it's like a modern AU. So it's out of the kind of devil AU of Chainsaw Man. And Aki's like your best friend, you grew up together. And he's like a car guy, and the reader has like a failed date, like a guy stands her up and he picks her up in the car and they kind of go and they like smoke, and it's so intense, it's so beautifully written, it's wow. Aki writers, I feel, are just on a whole different planet. But it's just so intense and it's so amazing, and it really delves into like the relationship between reader and Aki and like their unique circumstances. But like the way the smut is written, oh my god, it's like so intense. It's like a really big chapter too, and like a lot happens, and it's like you feel like you're there. So I had to put that one out there because it's just wow.
Beautiful
experience. And then a Gojo fic that I really enjoyed this year was 6 Feet Under by Akatsuki no Requiem, and essentially the reader is Nanami's widow and she wants to take revenge, and Gojo's like an organized crime boss in like New York City, and it's so good because it's like, you know, Gojo knows he like shouldn't fall for her, and he is a little bit of a playboy in this, but it's so freaking good. Like the plot is good, the smut is good, Gojo's characterization is chef's kiss, like she does it very, very perfectly.
I wouldn't be surprised if Maya's already read this, but if she hasn't, I'm definitely, that sounds like everything she could ever want in a fanfiction.
Maya needs to read it if she has not, because I feel like she would love it, because it's like, it's got like a little bit of like action in it, like, and there's also like this anxiety of like, he's a crime boss, and like, the reader is like this widow, and she's like, no, I'm gonna go and shoot like his murderer, and Gojo's always like, oh, but no. And it's just interesting when like with Gojo's character's concerned, because it really pulls out like a lot of soft sides to him, but also I think if he was out of the Jujutsu Kaisen world, like how he kind of would be, you know, a bit protective but a bit guarded at the same time. And then I left the Levi one to last to recommend, because it's probably my favorite fic ever. It's The Carnivore by Captain Degenerate, because it's just
okay.
Special place. So Levi is transported into the modern world, and the reader takes him in, and she's like a go-go dancer, and they like fall in love, and it's just so earnest because Levi comes from the Attack on Titan world, and she's like teaching him about like the internet, and he eats like a pizza for the first time, and he's like eating it so quick, and she like shows him the gym, and he's like going ham in the gym. And it's really wholesome. There's a little bit of an age gap, and it's like the author at the end, she does like these kind of update chapters sometimes, and it's where Levi's like, am I too old for you? And she's like, no, and she like takes pictures of him in like a fireman costume or something, and like all these people online are like, daddy, and he's like, oh, don't. But that's probably, I reread that fic for comfort at least twice a year. Those are my recommendations.
Very nice. That one reminds me of like, there was a period in time of fan fiction, especially on like Wattpad, where like it was reversed almost, so that the YN character would be like falling into the world of whatever.
Yes,
and like that's what that reminded me of.
Yes, those fics are so interesting as well, because the reader's always just like, you know, help me fight.
Yeah,
I love those fics. Yeah, it's so creative.
I love those fics, but I always got to the point where I was like, but why did you, like, what happened in order for you to, like, fall into this world? And, like, for a lot of them, because they were written by, like, 15-year-old girls or whatever, they just didn't have an answer to that.
Yeah,
and I remember just being like, but why are we here? Like, what happened?
It's like they never want to, like, return home. And like even like Levi, he's like, don't you want to see your like family again? And she's like, no, I want to be on the Survey Corps.
Yeah.
And I want to fight the Titans. It's like, girls, shut up, go home.
Well, because they're always just like, no, because my mom is dead and my dad fucking hates me. Why would I go back to them?
And everyone at that school doesn't understand me.
I want to fight. I'm in love with you.
I want to fight for the cause. This is my passion. Hilarious.
Oh my god, I loved those, like, that I don't know if people write those fics anymore of like YN falling into the world, but I loved that I don't know, like year of fanfics where it was just like kind of the same like a trend of like My Mom Sold Me to One Direction or whatever, of like,
yeah, it's got that same energy.
YN, yeah, it has the same exact energy of like YN falls into this fantasy world, why is she there? Like what happened to make her fall through a portal into this world? We'll never know.
No, but it will be chaotic and it will be funny and it will be we will cringe, but in the best way, and the reader will intend it that way.
Wattpad, I will say, Wattpad has such good trends. Like, I don't think AO3 has, like, a trend cycle, which is, like, good for AO3. I'm glad that it doesn't have a trend cycle in the slightest. But I really do love that, like, Wattpad seems to have, like, a small trend cycle of, like, you know, so-and-so will write this fanfiction and people will be like, that's a really good idea, and then, like, go on about it, because you can absolutely see through the trends of, like, oh, he was, like, the, my mom sold me to this famous boy band or this, like, mafia boss, and then they have, like, the YN character falls into the, and there was just, like, trends everywhere, and I really do love that about Wattpad.
I do. I remember there was, like, a bit of a trend where it was, like, French-speaking Levi, so it would be, like, random, like, lemon shots, but it would be, like, the reader would, like, speak French to him in front of, like, Petra. Like, there was that thing, like, you know, like, there was that big trend in, like, Levi fanfic where Petra was used as, like, the person to, like, be jealous of. And I read a bunch where it was, like, he would just randomly speak French and then the reader can somehow speak French in the canonverse somehow. I've seen a lot of trends on Wattpad through Levi fic a lot, yeah.
I love it. I do love the trends on Wattpad. I'll give Wattpad that. It's, they have really good, really fun trends from time to time. It's unfortunately the end of our episode. Thank you for being here. I had such a fun time speaking with you and talking about smut and YN fanfiction and the Omegaverse. I don't think I've talked about the Omegaverse for as long as I have with you. And I will thank you and apologize to you for letting me do that. But is there anything that you would like to promote? Your AO3, any social media, whatever.
First of all, say thank you for having me. I've had such a fun time talking with you. Like, I've laughed to my heart today. And probably my AO3 for Fable, because the last episode of Attack on Titan's coming on November 4th, and it's going to be painful. And I honestly wrote Fable to be intended to be read after you finish the manga or when the anime finally ends, because it's like, it's very fluffy, but there's some angst and there's some smut there too. After like 15 chapters, I tried to slow burn it. So I recommend Fable when you finish Attack on Titan to anyone listening who's waiting to finish it, because there is some manga spoilers there. So yes, thank you.
Amazing. Thank you for listening to another episode of Canonically Incorrect. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram and Tumblr. You can send us your fanfiction recommendations, or if you're a fanfiction author that would like to be on our show, email us at canonicallyincorrectpod@gmail.com. If you would like to support us, you can donate a one-time donation at ko-fi.com/canonicallyincorrect. You can subscribe to our Patreon monthly at patreon.com/canonicallyincorrect. Thank you to our Patreons, Autumnal River and Riley C, for your continued support.
Donate to AO3!
And we'll see you guys next time!
Bye! Bye.